Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside. So welcome to a Project Love podcast. We have in the studio with us today the gorgeous and infectiously joyful Harry Rose. Welcome, Harry.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you just bring so much brightness and joy and life into the room. It's amazing. So Harry is a health coach who helps women to love their bodies, ditch a lifetime of dieting, and live their life. Her own story of years of dieting and disordered dieting, and finally her rebellion to it all and a commitment to loving her body rather than trying to control it, is both inspiring and actually heart-wrenching when I was reading it again today, because it gives such an accurate account of how so many people punish their bodies and try to control them and force them to look a certain way. And it can go on for years.
Lifetimes.
Yeah, exactly. So we're delighted to have you here with us today to dive into the topic of body love, body confidence, and how society's messages around beauty are making most of us feel like our beautiful bodies aren't good enough.
I'm excited to be here.
Yay! Thank you so much for joining us. So why don't we start with why you love doing what you do?
What a good question. I love doing what I do because so many I work mainly with women, but it's not just this problem isn't just specific to women, are wasting their lives trying to change themselves and believing that if they can only just attain a certain body shape, then they will be happy. And doing what I do and taking that person on a journey from that place through letting go of diets and understanding how amazing their body is right now, there's so much freedom in that. And you are literally giving people so much brain space and freedom. And it's really amazing to see the transformation when people can let go of this idea of having to look a certain way in order to be happy. It's it's a phenomenal mind shift. And I feel very privileged that I am able to kind of go along this journey with people. It's really pretty magical, the transformation that people can have when they're able to let go of this idea.
So what kind of transformation, like what is the transformation that you see? So when someone first comes to you, what are normally the things that they're saying about their body and sort of their habits? And then at the end of it, when you sort of wave them off or a few years down the line, you know, and they kind of get back in touch, How are they different? How are they enjoying life in a different way?
So I think we can all, I believe that we can all resonate on some level. The majority of people have tried some sort of diet. And when you are in that mentality that you're on a diet, and if I can just follow this correctly, then I will be happy and my body will look exactly how it's meant to look. By the time someone gets to me, often they have been on that cycle, that diet cycle of like, this is the one, I'm going to be perfect this time, I'm going to follow it to the letter, and then they fail, which they believe is because they're not doing it right, when actually, I'm sure we'll get into this, but it's the diet, not you. And they will have done that cycle many, many times often. And so they are really exasperated with feeling not good enough.
Yeah.
So that tends to be when they kind of contact me, and when an Instagram meme is not enough to invoke a real sustainable life change, then they'll come to me, and they are desperate to feel like they are good enough, and they are willing to try something different, because they realize that actually they can't keep doing what they're doing. But they are the want to. Because I believe, and I'm sure you guys do, that everyone wants to love themselves really on a deep down level, but we're so in a cycle of not loving ourselves and we forget how to love ourselves. But there's a kind of inkling, if you're able to listen to it, that I do want to love myself. I don't know how to.
Yeah, completely.
Like it's a lost, you're lost from yourself.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of that mindset coupled with thinking like I'm really disgusting. Like, it's that level. It's really the first session that I have with people is so heartbreaking to me, because the things that people say about themselves, it's the things that you wouldn't say to your worst enemy. You know, and I call a lot of this kind of like slimy thoughts, because it's the stuff that lives at the back in the cave parts of your brain that you don't tell your friends, you don't share with anybody. And as we know, like, shame loves secrecy, you know, and it feeds off this darkness, and it becomes, I just have this vision of like these slimy bits of like, you know, and it, those, you know, you're disgusting, you're not good enough, you're unlovable, no one's going to want to, you know, sleep with you. No one, you know, it's this really venomous, vile, insidious thoughts that people have about themselves. And often there's some trauma, you know, like from past, you know, childhood stuff, you know, school, maybe you're bullied at school, or family, you know. So, you know, you've internalized all these other people's flippant or not, you know, conscious or not thoughts, you know, but, you know, all of these bullying thoughts you've internalized, and it's become your part of your story that you tell yourself, and you tell yourself and you don't tell anybody else.
And then you become the bully on the inside.
My God, you are literally like the worst mean girl ever. Like,
times
you know, like, yeah, exactly, you know, like, you are the bully. Exactly, you become the bully. And so the first, you know, the first part of the journey is sharing, and there's so much healing in just sharing, so much healing in having someone reflect back the things that they're saying about themselves, and you know, giving them permission to not believe them, you know, give, you know, and shining a light is what I say all the time, shining a light on the slime, you know, it being like,
I like that.
and being like, this is not true, you know, let me show you how this is not true. So that's the kind of starting point. There has to be the light that diets are not the answer. And many people aren't ready to hear that, you know. We live in a society based around diets being the route to happiness. And lots of people are so in, you know, trapped in this because it's everywhere, you know, like, oh, just lose weight. Like, oh, it's that easy. Oh.
And also, like you were saying before, this is the one that's going to work.
Exactly.
The hope that is then attached to that, and then the crushing disappointment that it didn't work, or it didn't work for you.
Yeah, because your social media feeds are full of like before and after photos, so everybody else must be able to do it. If I can,
do you know what? Those before and after. If I see a before and after photo, I immediately unfollow.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Like, I don't have any. I can imagine, though, if I was in that diet cycle, and when I was much younger, I would have been obsessed with
those. I was obsessed with before and after like photos and stories. I would I would read, you know, all of the magazines, and, you know, the before and after story, like, what did she do? What's her secret? You know, how did she do it? How can I follow that, you know? Diets sell you these false dreams, so you're like, if I can just, you know, when I, you know, if I can just drop a dress size or five dress sizes or whatever, you know, like, then I will be happy, then I can get my dream job, then I can find my dream partner, then I will be, you know, accepted, and, you know, I will, you know, that is this whole idea that they're building this idea of a point in the future that if I can just look a certain way, then all my other problems will be solved. By the time they get to me, they have to have had some kind of mini, you know, this slight chink of light that maybe that's not the answer. You know, they don't know how to get there, but just has to be like, God, there's got to be another way.
I can't
keep being on this treadmill. Yeah. You know, there's got to be another way.
It's like that tiny little voice. I remember this happening to me of like, help me. Like, we need help. When it was also around not my body, but self-loathing, and I just need and the need to learn how to love myself properly, and pretending like I could do it on my own. And finally, a little chink came through, and it was like, you need to go get help before you put the armor back on. This is not okay. And I think you can't. And then go, well, I don't know how to do it. I'm clearly, I can't be my own therapist and coach.
Totally.
So I need to find someone else. And then, and so they grab onto that and go and find you.
It's wonderful to be able to then take that person from that journey and help them facilitate their own change. You know, like, as coaches, you're just there to, you know, ask the right questions. You know, the people have the answers within themselves. And then at the end, so, you know, the transformation is phenomenal. You know, people, I had a client text me at Christmas to be like, Harry, I managed to do a bikini day swim this year, you know, and because, and that was like massive, like bikini Christmas swim. And she would never have done that before. And she was like, it's giving people their life back.
Yeah.
Like that they didn't didn't realize how much diets are sucking the life out of them. Yeah. You know, it's not going swimming with your kids, or it's not, you know, what else? It's not going to, you know, not eating birthday cake, you know, because you shouldn't, you know, it's, you're missing like memories. So much of you know, food is, you know, life memories. Mm. And I used to skip social occasions because I thought I was going to ruin my diet. I'll be like, you go for dinner and I'll come meet you afterwards, because I didn't want to ruin my diet, you know. And people, you know, I almost didn't go traveling, and I know this is very, like, I appreciate the privilege in this sentence, but I almost didn't go traveling because I thought only thin girls go traveling. I was like, you know, I'm too fat to go traveling, you know. And this, I am not even in a particularly large body. Like, I'm really, really have so much privilege in my body also. And that's just such an extreme thought. And thank God I did go and had this amazing time, you know. But the fact that that was even a conscious thought is, like, completely crazy, completely crazy. Mm-hmm. And so the transformation at the end is that you are, you know, I talk about, like, you know, it's not giving up. I think people think that if you accept your body, then you're going to sit on the sofa, eat junk food all day, and get much bigger than you ever thought was possible. Like, just let it all go. Let it go, exactly.
Absolutely, like,
massive.
I will not be able to get through doors.
Yeah, like, this is the, honestly, because people have such a fear that if I'm not on a diet, then I'll eat forever. If I'm not on a diet, then I will eat forever.
Nothing will stop me.
I will be insatiable. you know, because there's this real fear of letting go, because you've been in these rules all the time. And and so I'm like, no, body acceptance isn't giving up, it's not letting go, it's actually freedom. It's so much more, it's like more adventures, more like licks of the spoon, it's more like, you know, kisses, and it's more you know, more moments captured, because you're not the one holding the camera anymore, you want to be in the photograph. It's so much more, like, and
it's freedom.
And it is, it's completely, imagine the brain space if every woman stopped thinking about calories and started to think about how to change the world. Imagine the difference we could have, you know. And there is a big feminist angle, you know, that comes out on that's been talked about for many, many years, about how dieting is just a way of, you know, keeping women oppressed because we're so busy trying to control our own bodies to actually break a glass ceiling, for example. You know, there's a lot of kind of literature around that. But just on an individual level, you know, you could be like learning a language, or, you know, like picking up a new hobby. You know, if you, with the brain space that we use trying to control what we are consuming day in, day out, because it is obsessional, you know. It's really food thoughts, thinking about lunch as soon as you finish breakfast, thinking about dinner as soon as you finish lunch. You know, this, it can be really controlling, these thoughts about food, and then slammed with, you're so disgusting, you're so fat, you don't deserve to eat today because you haven't been to the gym. You know, it's so multi-layered that when you can take away all of that in a dialogue that you're having with yourself, the freedom is so tangible. It creates such, it's breath, you know. Like, I just feel like that, just even talking about it, I'm suddenly just like, God, it's our breath. You know, it's just, okay, there's such a misconception that you will, you know, give up, and actually you it's not, it's just so much more.
No, I think, and I can imagine, it's the vitality that must come with, the energy you must get back as well from being able to actually give yourself the food that you need
to nourish yourself. Yeah,
and absolutely. Trusting that, and I think I'm sure I read this on your website, but trusting that if you trust your body and allow it to choose what it wants to eat, you promise it won't just be pizza.
Exactly.
That's not what your body naturally is going to be drawn to once you get into a healthy space.
Eventually you're going to want a salad or a vegetable because your body wants to be well. Like, your body wants to be well. And this is part of intuitive eating, which is what I teach as well, like intuitive and mindful eating, is that you have to let go of all the food rules, and that can be really scary.
Terrifying, I'm sure.
It can be really scary. I didn't eat bread for years because I was like, bread,
I love bread, but I can't possibly eat bread.
I can't trust myself.
I will eat a whole loaf of bread. And so, you know, but, you know, and so you have to let go of all the food rules. And when you do that, there might be a period where you do just want to eat bread, or you do just want to eat whatever you've had on a pedestal, whatever you've put in kind of like a box of like, that food is the most delicious thing ever. And you put it in some sort of like glass.
Break glass for emergency.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so there might be a period where you do want to eat those, and you have to go through this period of allowing yourself to eat whatever you want to. Mm. And so that can feel a bit overwhelming. But say, you know, you did just want to eat pizza for 2 weeks. After a while, if you keep telling yourself, I can have this anytime I want, I can have this anytime I want, I can have this anytime, you can eat pizza for breakfast, lunch and dinner if that's what you want. Mm-hmm. Eventually, if your brain's going to get the message, your body's going to get the message, oh, I can actually have pizza whenever I want. Maybe I don't need to eat it 3 times a day. And what's actually going to make me feel well right now? Okay, maybe it's a courgette.
I'll have a courgette for breakfast instead.
So yeah, there's this period, and it's really interesting when you get into helping people heal their relationship with food, is often the things that they thought were like the naughty delicious foods that, or you know, they don't actually like. And everybody, I've not worked with anybody who hasn't had some level of this. So in my experience, I always thought donuts were like really delicious. I was like, donuts are so delicious, but I can't possibly eat a donut. I couldn't possibly, because it's too naughty and delicious. So I didn't eat, and never ate a donut. And then when I was healing my relationship with food, you have to go through this list of the things that you haven't been allowed to eat. When I ate a donut, I was like, oh.
Is that it?
It's so overrated. I was like, I don't even like this donut. I literally don't even like donuts. So now I'm like, take it or leave it. Like they look nice, but to be honest, I'm not that bothered about it. Like it's so, and I had another person who, you know, thought that like cheese sandwiches were like the thing, and then they actually tasted them mindfully with permission that you can have this. It's like, oh, actually, I'm not even that keen on cheese sandwiches. You know, so we have to examine the rules that we've put. Everyone has got some sort of like naughty mustn't have this, and we have to examine them, because sometimes they are delicious and that's all right too. But sometimes it's complete nonsense that we've just put these things, you know, in this, on a pedestal, and actually we don't need to, because you can have them whenever you want to. And the reason why people fall into binge cycles is because consciously or unconsciously, when you have some sort of restriction in your mind, then that basically can trigger a binge, because you're like, I mustn't have it, mustn't have it, mustn't have it. And then you might, you know, slip up in inverted commas. And for example, using the example of donut, you're like, mustn't have a donut, mustn't have a donut, mustn't have a donut. And then maybe you have a bad day. You're like, can I swear?
Yeah.
Oh, swear away.
Fuck it. I'm gonna have a donut. And then you go, oh God, I've ruined it. I'm gonna have 50. 5 donuts. And then exactly, followed by, oh, okay, well now I've really fucked it. So I'm gonna have that massive dairy milk family bar that's been in the cupboard for the kids. And then, oh God, now I've really, really done it. So I'm gonna literally, it spirals, you know, and I used to have terrible, terrible binge cycles. But what happens when you're in it, I call it a fuck it window. Because by then you are like well in it, and you're like, well, I may as well eat as much as I can now, because tomorrow I'm going to be restricting again. And it's that restrict. I mean, you know, and your brain, your body, when you're restricting, your body thinks it's in a starvation period. And so it's sending these hormones telling you like, please eat, please eat. And you're going against biology. And so when you are, you know, it's not easy, this stuff, you know. So I was like, when you just give up dieting, when you just heal your relationship, it is a really, you know, it can take a long time, and it's not a linear process, and it can be one step forward, 2 steps back. But at the end of it, when you have healed your relationship with food, you can totally stop the binge cycle, because you're giving yourself permission to eat when you need to, and that can stop the restriction, that stops the feeling that there's good and bad foods, or that these are naughty or good, and you know, all this the language you use around morality as well in all of this stuff is
also how we shame ourselves and how we praise ourselves, you know? And we need to get rid of all of this stuff.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, you must go so deep with people, because I think that our relationship with food is such a reflection, goes so deep. Mm. I really think that it mirrors kind of your relationship with life.
Totally.
At the same time. Yeah. I used to have a terrible relationship with food. And I remember being resentful that we even had to eat as human beings. I was so out of love with food and therefore myself and my body. Yeah. And now, I mean, I love food and I love eating food and no restrictions anymore. There's certainly not this desire, my ability to restrict myself so much on food before, there was a satisfaction that came with it.
Oh, totally.
That starvation satisfaction.
That feeling of like being really hungry.
I just spent 6 hours and only had 2 rice cakes and some Marmite.
It's like, how awful is that?
You must feel terrible. And I did, and I burnt out all the time.
But society champions disordered eating.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. But to that point, there's a really amazing woman called Janine Roth who talks a lot about the same topic that we're talking about now. And she says that what you put on your plate is a direct reflection of how you feel about yourself. So it's like your world is on your plate.
Wow.
And isn't that so powerful? Because people put too little, you know, and what does that say about what you deserve?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or they put too much, you know, which is also a type of punishment, you know. And punishment eating is something we talk about, you know, when you're in you're punishing yourself by starving yourself, essentially, yet you're also telling yourself, like, this is good, I've been really good today, because you haven't eaten, you know. Or you're pushing yourself to eat too much, say you're in a binge cycle, and you know it's this, you know it's not good for you, but you're sort of like, it's this bizarre punishment eating, like, it's a very strange mindset, it's a really complex mindset, and, you do have to go quite deep with people, as part of the healing, just because you have to unpick. There's a lot to unpick, you know what I mean? There's a lot to unpick, particularly around food. But yeah, food is pleasure and food is joy and it is life, you know? And it is such a shame, like going back to society, that we are cheered on for not eating, you know?
Yeah.
We're cheered on for, like, counting our almonds out. You know, and you know, there's a lot of problem with, there's a lot of what I talk about in my writing and with my clients is like, there's actually nothing wrong with us and so much wrong with society, you're fine. It's society that's fucked, you know, and it's, but we're internalizing all of these messages. And also, you know, if you think about places like offices, they're absolute breeding grounds for, diet culture and food shaming from you know, each other, keeping each other food policing each other.
Like eating at the desk.
Eating at the desk, but also just like, what you have in there? Oh God, I wish I could have that. No, I'm just having this salad. You know, like food shaming each other and just talking about diets continuously. You know, I've been in times of my life where friends as well, obsessed about what diets they're on. I think it's Naomi Wolf who talks about dieting has become like how women bond with each other. The dieting language is how we socialize and bond with each other. Isn't that so sad? But it's also, I can really resonate with that, because there have been times in my life where that's all me and my girlfriends have talked about. You know, what have you seen? Oh, and celebrity culture as well. You know, what's she doing? It becomes a language that we all use. So it's really difficult to escape that, you know, and that's why I talk a lot about, you know, you have to be like a rebel, because it is, you have to really rebel against all the messaging and often your friendship, you know, so the language that your friends are using, you know, in order to take this other path. But at the end, the freedom is just so phenomenal if you choose to extract yourself from what society is saying is the path to happiness, which just isn't the path to happiness.
No, God, complete opposite. And it sounds like these people just get their lives back and enjoy. And enjoyment of life and enjoyment of food.
Yeah, joy. I talk about joy all the time. Like, small moments of joy are something that I try to kind of adhere to on a daily basis. But yeah, one of the exercises that I do with clients is to rate what they're eating on a joy scale, you know, from like 1 to 5. And just to assess
how is this food making me happy? And obviously this isn't something you can do all the time, because we live in busy lives when sometimes you just have to grab a sandwich. Like, that's fine, you know, not expecting your, you know, necessarily like your pret sandwich to be 5 out of 5 joy. But it's just about bringing mindfulness to being
depends
like...
Depends which one.
You know, it just nourishment and joy. Yeah, treating yourself with kindness. Because a lot of this is to do with self-compassion as well.
Yeah,
you know, how we feed ourselves, you know, it's linked to kindness, self-compassion. But joy, you know, does this food make me happy? And some days, like a really banging salad makes me really happy. You know, like when you get a really good one, you're like, oh, this salad's delicious and it's really nourishing, it's bringing me joy. And some days you need mashed potato.
Oh,
like,
oh,
you know, yeah. Just, you know, and
oh
that,
my God,
you
know, I love a mashed potato.
Exactly. You know, some days you just need mashed potato. And so that is kind of the joy factor, is giving yourself what you need in that moment without the rules of it being like, have I been good? You know, this is naughty. You know, taking out all of that language and just being like, is this nourishing myself in a way that I need to? Yeah, but self-compassion piece is another huge thing. You know, as we know, we're so critical of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, you guys are also self-compassion queens. You know, it's helping people to realise also that they deserve to be shown nourishment, if we're talking about food.
Yeah.
But also that bodies, you know, are meant to look different shapes and sizes. Mm. And the images that we're given, you know, I was going to say particularly as women, but I do think it's getting as bad for men these days. It really is. But, you know, women are shown that there is a certain body ideal and it's complete made up. Even the girl in the photo doesn't look like the girl in the photo.
There's Cindy Crawford quote where she says, I don't wake up looking like Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, exactly.
Just so you know.
You know, like we're kind of given this unobtainable body that we're supposed to look like. You know, at the moment, you know, it's like... massive bum, tiny waist a la Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
You know, like, so everyone's like squatting like mad people, you know, but it was back in the day, it was like, you know, heroin chic, really skinny, you know, fashion changes, you know, if you look at the body, you know, but, you know, and so it's a moving goalpost and it's unobtainable and everything's like, you know, filtered to, you know, shit now, you know, and so we're not, and yet we're looking in the mirror and thinking like, oh, well, I'm disgusting, I'm not good enough. And we have to kind of realise that your body is good enough just as it is right now, and you don't need to change it in order to be happy, like, really. And that's when you've been telling yourself, when you've been being the bully, like we talked about, it's really difficult in order to realise that you're allowed to love yourself without changing.
Yeah,
and that's a big part of it as well.
And it's the understanding of beauty as well, isn't it? What is beautiful? Mm-hmm, and experiencing beauty in yourself and in your body in a new way.
Yeah.
What are kind of some of the most common exercises that you give people to... Obviously, there's the nourishment. I love that intuitive eating.
Yeah.
I think everyone should do that. I think it's a brilliant thing for us all to do. But then, and you kind of get to write, okay, that sort of body acceptance. But what about then the next level of like really celebrating and enjoying and just really loving the body that you're in?
Yeah, I had a client said on our last call, this is really, I mean, like, this is kind of like next level body acceptance, but she was like, I now feel like I want to kind of like romance myself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I'm buying underwear for myself.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
amazing. Isn't it?
She got to there.
Yeah.
That's from arriving feeling like, I hate this body. That
Wow. Yeah. It's like, that's really, I mean, it gives me goosebumps and things when people tell me that. Ugh. But I think it's important to say that there's a huge, that can feel like a really, really long way away for people.
Yeah.
And that there's a really important midpoint is body neutrality. So I think people have probably heard like body positivity, you know, and think like, well, that's fine for those people, you know, but not for me.
And also, important side note, putting yourself in a bikini on the internet is not the end game. Like, that is not the end game.
I never wanted to do that.
You know, can I just say, like, that gives me, even in my own journey, I still don't want to put myself in a bikini on the internet. Thanks very much.
No. So I also don't think the internet needs it.
If you are familiar with, like, body positivity on Instagram, there's a lot of amazing, phenomenal bloggers who are, you know, who that's how they express their body celebration. Yeah. That's what, you know. So,
coming from that angle,
your Instagram feed is full of, like, amazing, like, fat babes and, you know, like, being in skimpy clothing and putting it out there, like, I take my hat off. I don't know how those women do it. So that's not the end goal. I just want to say that. And and that bit of kind of like, yeah, I'm more like, you know, I would talk about, like, be your own crush and that kind of stuff. Like, that's an end point. But there's a really important midpoint, which is body neutrality. And this might be where some people get to, and that's as far as they go, and that's totally fine. And that's going from, I think I'm really disgusting, to I think I'm okay. And that can be a massive step.
Yeah.
Just getting to that point where it's like neutral thoughts, like, this is a human stomach, rather than look at this disgusting rolls of, you know, like, just saying, like, I'm okay. Like, that, there's so much peace in that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's so much peace in that. Mm. And so that's a really important, if people are thinking, like, oh, God, there's no way I could love myself. But that's fine. That's fine to think that at the moment, that's way too big. Just imagining that you might be able to say, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Is a really important step. And could you get to
nourishing yourself? This is what we say with self-love. Because people, in the same way, people are like, self-love, it can feel so alien.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a different kind of species to me. Totally. It's like, okay, well, let's start with nourishment. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, okay, I can head for that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I remember in my own journey, I found this book, I had a horrible, by the time I was kind of in my early 20s, I had, like, an undiagnosed eating disorder, but I didn't think I had an eating disorder because I never got really thin. But I had also, my eating was totally disordered. I really, like, I was very happy-go-lucky on the outside, you know, very bubbly, very, like, you know, shiny, happy personality. But I really, really was very much look in the mirror and didn't like what I see. Mm. And then I found this book, and now it's kind of what, body positivity is so massive now that now I know it was a body positivity book, essentially. I wish I could find it. I have no idea what it was, but it was this woman's story talking about how she'd kind of learned to love herself. And in the book, she wrote, you have to treat yourself like your best friend. Mm. And I was like, what? Like, I remember genuinely being like, how can I possibly treat myself like my best friend when I'm so disgusting?
Yeah.
Like, I will treat myself like my best friend when I have dropped 2 dress sizes, thank you. Like, you know, it's so conditional. You know, this, I will start being kind to myself when I've actually
met I deserve it.
When I deserve it, exactly. So, yeah, it's really important.
Such a prison, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's such a prison conditional, to put yourself
conditional
in.
Love, isn't it? It's conditional love and conditional acceptance.
Yeah, and you'd never say those things to a best friend.
Totally.
The things that we say to ourselves, we'd never say them out loud. We'd never say them to another person. Mm-mm. But we think it's okay if it's in here. Oh, it's fine if it's in here. But you're the one that can hear it. You are the most important listener of that voice.
Your body hears everything your brain tells it.
Mm. It's amazing. I remember when I had such anxiety around food, and I remember thinking to myself, in my early 20s, and thinking, I wonder if one day I'll ever be free of this.
Mm.
And now I am. And it breaks my heart having these conversations about this, because it reminds me of how it was to be so trapped in this self-loathing and anxiety around food, and the fear of what would happen if I put on weight, or how am I going to lose? What if I never lose this weight?
Yeah.
But also just to know how rife this is in our society, and how many people, and particularly women, are suffering from this. I'm so relieved you're doing the work you do.
Thank you. And it's not, you know, I think it's really amazing. Like, you know, I picked up that book, over a decade ago now. And I read the book and went, well, that's good for other people. You know, like, yeah, I read that, but, you know, but, and it's interesting that I'm now doing the work that I'm doing now.
Good for them.
And yeah, exactly. It's just like, oh, what, I remember having this kind of like, wow, you know, this is a great book. And then I handed it, I actually passed it on to another girl that I knew, and I heard, you know, because I was like, you should read this book. But then obviously then had another decade of very unhappy, like, you know, aww, relationship with myself. But now there is a huge anti-diet movement now. Mm. And I think, I hope that, you know, there's a lot of people now talking about getting off diets and listening to your body. And it is a movement now. And I do have hope that eventually my job shouldn't exist, you know, like my job shouldn't exist. But the, you know, the diet industry is worth billions, you know, it is worth billions. So we're up against a lot of messages telling us we're not good enough.
Even some nutritionists, I've been to events with a well-known nutritionist, and the way she was talking about food, I found terrifying. And she's a real leader. Yeah. And I was looking around the room and I was just like, oh no. I mean, she was talking about how she wouldn't allow herself to have peanut butter in her house because she couldn't trust herself.
Yeah.
And I was like,
exactly.
What's wrong with peanut butter?
You know, there's some great answers. I know, like, it's true. And there's the wellness diet. You know, I'm using it in inverted commas. You know, the wellness industry. I, when I first trained to be a health coach, you know, a few years ago now, I now look back and think I still had some kind of like hangover from like diet culture, because it's like, oh, it's not a diet, it's about health. And health is now been totally co-opted by diet industry. And wellness is often, you know, wellness is often disordered eating, you know, if you've got rules, regardless of whether they're in a, you know, a Weight Watcher. It's not like, you know, okay, well, it's not Weight Watchers, so it's not a diet, you know. But if you're still telling yourself there's things that you can and can't eat and you know, shoulds and shouldn'ts, then that's a diet. If there's a rule around it, then you're on some sort of diet. Mm. And wellness is really rife with a lot of disordered eating.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there's a lot wrong with wellness, in my opinion, as well. It's a very to do with privilege and socioeconomic factors and that kind of thing. But there's a lot of disordered stuff happening in wellness that's kind of held up as health.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just another way to shame ourselves, and it's another way to make us feel bad about ourselves because, you know, maybe, you know, I can't afford £100, you know, Lululemon leggings. You know, and that's another thing about exercise. You know, a lot of the work I do is about healing relationship with exercise, because people think that they have to, yeah, have the right outfit and be doing exercise in, like, the right way, you know? Yeah. We're in it, and actually it's like, no, it's just movement. Just move. You can't do it wrong, you know? You don't have to have, like, a £100 gym membership doing some fancy classes in order to be doing exercise correctly.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be, like, in a, like, massively difficult inversion yoga headstand in order to be a yogi.
Oh god, you know? Yeah, tell me
you
about
know?
It.
So it's about you know, finding, talk about kind of joyful movement as well. I mean, I also was very traumatized by school sports, school PE. Like, I had my period virstually every week. I was like trying to get out of stuff. I am so traumatized.
Oh, you were one of those.
I was the note. Oh my god, I'm so traumatized. And to be honest, and even now, I still can't play a team game. I'm a team player, but don't put me in a team game. I just, like, still terrifying. But, you know, you're finding movement that makes you, you know, feel good, whether that's, like, just going for a walk in nature or, you know, taking up hula hooping or... I had one client who took up sword fighting. I'm not even joking. It was so great. She was like, yeah, I'm just taking up sword fighting. I bought the present for my husband, but he didn't want to go, so I'm going, and I absolutely love it. I was like, yes!
Brilliant.
This is thinking outside the box about exercise. Like, it doesn't have to be... Gyms can be very scary places for people who are in bigger bodies. And
I find gyms scary. All the machines, I don't know how they work.
Oh, my God. They fill me with boredom.
Yeah.
And boredom and fear.
Looking at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't want to have anything to do with a gym. And I love being active. Yeah. But unfortunately, I love being active on the sea, which is hard in London because there isn't one. And that's my standard excuse. I haven't got into doing exercise on a regular basis. But I walk really fast.
Yeah.
And I run up and down stairs.
But that is exercise, you know. We have this idea that it has to, you know, and we're counter that. A lot of people are, you know, either they're too scared to do anything because they're feeling like they can't do it right, you know, or people are obsessed with their Fitbits and they're counting and they're saying like, oh God, I didn't meet my, you know, that I didn't meet my target today.
And Vicky was holding up a Fitbit there, by the way, hence the laughter.
You know, and people can let that control them negatively as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it can cause that extra layer of anxiety. Yeah, I've seen people do the MyFitnessPal link to the Fitbit, but I don't think I ever want to put things in there.
I've been in the MyFitnessPal
putting things, food in.
I don't know what to call it. I don't know. It's like it is
the club.
Yeah, but that's such an obsession. An obsession.
Yeah.
I think the intuitive eating is the movement. I mean, that is just, it makes so much sense. It just, you know that is the healthy way to go. Because if it does mean that you end up realizing, for example, that you don't like eating donuts much, actually, when you allow your body to find what it really finds pleasurable, just having a balance. Sometimes it is a Kit Kat you want. Sometimes it wants a salad. Sometimes it, you know,
it's how children
it does
eat.
Want another
you
coffee.
Think about children. You know, children know when they've... coffee. My body always needs at least 3 coffees for nourishment. So it's like how children eat. You know, children will automatically stop eating when they're full. And it's often taught out of children, you know, you're not allowed to leave the dinner table until you finish your plate. And that can take you into adulthood, that you we basically lost touch with our hunger fullness signals. And I think one, an advice that people, you know, if people are listening, one tip in how to start your intuitive eating journey. And there's some great books out there that I can give you some links to. But the first step is to find out what hunger feels like, because we have completely lost touch with what hunger feels like, because either we're overeating or we're eating because it's breakfast time. We're eating because, oh, it's 1 o'clock, it's lunchtime, you know, and we're not really tuning in. We think hunger should be this kind of like really growling stomach kind of noises, but for me, I often get like really grumpy before those noises.
Oh, the hangries!
Oh my God, hangries!
Oh, Vicky's terrible for the hangries.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, like someone get her some food immediately.
It's true.
I start to go very quiet, and I wonder what's wrong, and then I'm like, oh yes,
yeah,
it's that familiar.
A little grey cloud starts to form around the head, and I'm like, we need to stop.
Yeah,
it's a warning. Quick.
Yeah. Me and my partner talk about red light, and suddenly, if I'm really, I'm like, I'm on a like red light, and it means like I'm either too hot, hungry, need a drink, need to sit down, and it's like in the car, like the red lights come on.
I might borrow that one.
Yeah, honestly, it's really good if you're on holiday when it's a bit stressful. It's like a code word.
Yeah, completely. Really, I have that when I'm stressed. Pineapple.
Yes.
Because I don't actually want to admit to the fact that I'm stressed, but so I can get out my pineapple. I'll just send the pineapple emoji to
Amazing.
Vicky, and she's like, oh, okay.
It's a great little code word. Anyway, so if you're getting to that point, then you're too hungry. So it's getting to know your hunger signals. Like, where does it sit in your body? You know, is it mine's like right under my rib cage, yours might be lower in your belly. And if you think about kind of a fuel gauge, you know, you don't want to be getting down to like 1 or 2 at the bottom, you know. You want to be thinking about 3 and 4, you know, there's kind of like hunger. And then you can, once you've kind of realized what your hunger is like, it's easier then to tune into what will make you feel nourished.
Exactly. Totally. You make better decisions. All my worst food decisions are made when I'm so, so hungry, starving. And I notice that I choose different foods when I'm not on that edge of hunger.
Totally.
And I'm just like a little bit hungry and now it's time to eat, rather than, oh my goodness, I'm so starving.
Yeah. And then full, stopping when you're full can be much harder, you know. And overeating is normal and comfort eating is completely normal. You know, normal eating, you know, looks different every day.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as, you know, we haven't touched on like perfectionism yet, but perfectionism about, you know, perfect diet, perfect way to eat each day. Like, there's no perfect way to eat, you know. We do what we can with what we've got, you know, and you know, rules are just a way to make us feel shit about ourselves. So we have to get rid of the idea that there's a perfect way to eat or there's a perfect meal, you know. Sometimes food is really delicious and you do just want second helpings, and that's totally fine.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, a healthy approach to eating is not perfect,
exactly.
So perfect menu every day.
Yeah, and there's no such thing as a perfect body, you know. Like, it's this, you know, there's bodies are.
you know, living, breathing, you know, they change over time and they're meant to look different at different phases in your life. And we're so, you know, one of the meanest things that people do is to look at photos from, you know, like 10 years ago and then look at themselves now. It's like, my God, like you, of course you're not going to look like you're 21 anymore. Like you've, you know, you're perhaps in your mid 30s and you've had like two babies. Like that's amazing. You've had two babies. Like this is phenomenal. Like look what your body has done. Yet we're so like lamenting these natural changes in our bodies. You know, it's really sad. It's so sad that we beat ourselves up looking at old photographs, wishing that we looked like that, you know?
All that controlling, trying to control the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's exhausting. Yeah, and it sucks the joy out of life.
Yeah, no, totally. Completely. And the big piece about like you're missing out on fun things that you could be doing, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to go to the beach because I don't want to, you know, get my arms out, you know, or, you know, swim in the sea. You know, you are really missing out on memories in so many ways when you are trying to control your body you know, all the time. And not feeling good enough. It's not just about control. Often it's feeling like you don't deserve to be in those spaces, you know?
Yeah.
Like summer can be a really, really difficult time for loads of people because they're so full of insecurities and wanting to cover up and feel like that they shouldn't have, you know, have their body on show.
I loved your posts over the hot, incredibly hot summer we've just had about talking about the anxiety of now, how do you handle the hot weather if you don't want to be going around as if you're basically on a summer holiday, which most people were in like sort of skimpy
it's
clothing.
Really hard. It's really, really hard. And there's a lot of, and what do you say to, it depends, though, the advice that you can give to those people is so difficult because, you know, I really understand that you're not, the fear of getting your, you know, getting your skin out in the summer is the struggle is real, like the fear the fear is there, but you have to just, I don't know, so much of it is realizing that society is feeding you all so much bullshit and that your body
society is the sick
Yeah, but we live also in, you know, a fatphobic society where, you know, if you are in a bigger body, you do have to face daily microaggression. So it's really difficult, you know? And that's why, you know, having this, like, cultivating this, like, rebel warrior attitude of being like, fuck you. You know, you need a bit of that.
Yeah.
You know, because it is rough out there, you know? Yeah,
and I think it's important for everyone to hear that and hear those stories and hear what it's like on a daily basis so that we're really recognising what's going on for people.
I think
people.
That the thing is, like, people have, each person that I work with and, you know, whether that, or talk to, you know, it's on Instagram or, you know, or get a deeper connection with, everyone is having their daily, you know, everyone's having their individual journey, you know, and someone who is in, like, a weight, you know, like a, what would be considered, like, a normal weight, we call it like straight size, you can go into a shop and you can buy clothes, you know, off the rack.
Yeah.
You know, like they can still be full of body anxiety, and their struggle is true to them, but they're having a completely different journey to someone who is in a kind of a much bigger body, who's probably, you know, been shouted at in the street for, you know, like they're both valid, but they're very different journeys. And so this is why it's that person who's in a kind of straight size body, that person in the bigger body might look and be like, well, you shouldn't have anything to complain about.
Yeah.
But because of how society is set up, you know, that person in the, you know, who's looks like they're a thin person can still be as racked with insecurities, you know, as, you know, that's what's so fucked up.
Yeah, and a super,
you
know, skinny person.
Yeah, it's honestly so fucked up that we are walking around full of insecurities when we, you know, when we just don't need to be. We just don't need to be. Yeah.
We could talk about this topic all day long. But to wrap it up, how about, I would love to hear one little exercise or tip you'd like to give us to do something to really celebrate our body or show it some love.
So my number one tip that I would say for that, this is a very easy thing that people can do, and then I'll give you an exercise, but is to unfollow anyone who makes you feel shit on Instagram.
Yeah.
So even if you think that is kind of the body that you want, and you know, the yoga wonder green smoothie kind of like tanned living in Bali vibe that you think that you want, mm-hmm. please unfollow it, because if it's making you feel bad about yourself, you don't need it in your life.
Yeah.
And follow loads of amazing people who are in the same size body of you or bigger, because it shows you that you don't have to be very, very thin in order to be happy. Because there's loads and loads of like mega amazing fat babes who are living their best life, you know, and so and they've proven that self-esteem can improve if you see people who are in the same size body of you or bigger, because you can start to appreciate your body. Mm. It kind of helps get rid of that in a way where you compare yourself to other people. So that's a really quick, easy thing to do, is please mix up your social media feed. You know, and get, you know, different, like, non-binary and trans, and like really see the variety of life. Like, please don't just follow thin white women. Like, please, like, please get a diverse range of people up in your face on a daily basis to show the beauty of variety.
Yeah.
That's like the one easy takeaway. In terms of an exercise, it depends on how you can take this as kind of like, so basically a really simple thing you can do is write a gratitude list about all the things that you can, your body does for you. And this helps you realize that you are more than, your body is more than aesthetic, you know, like, and also we're you know, you are your hopes and your dreams and your ambitions, you know, like, you are not just your body. But this is about your body and taking away the power from the aesthetic. So write a list. I sometimes make people do, like, you've got 99 problems, but your body ain't one. And so you can make it really challenging if you want to do. And people are like, 99? You're like, yeah, but your lungs are keeping you breathing, babe. Yeah. Like, you know, like, your arms are able to, you know, hug your boyfriend. You're able to, like, shimmy on the dance floor, you know. And but even if you have, you know, even if your body, you're not totally able-bodied, your body is still doing amazing things for you, you know, reproducing your cell, you know, you can go down to like a cellular level.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're very privileged, if you're total able-bodied, you have so much privilege in order, your body is doing amazing things, keeping you alive and keeping you moving. And so writing a gratitude list for all the things that your body can do for you is a really powerful way to help you realize that you don't need a thigh gap or abs in order to be happy.
My God, the thigh gap. I still don't even get that.
I know.
Like, who has one?
I know, ridiculous. So that's kind of, those are my kind of like top two kind of takeaway tips. But the other thing is to realize that, you know, part of, you know, Kristen Neff, queen of self-compassion, you know, she talks about a shared humanity.
Yeah.
And in helping you to be kinder to yourself, it can be powerful to realize that you're not, it's not just you on this journey, you know. It's everybody is suffering from some sort of insecurities, but you deserve the right to be happy and loved as much as anybody else. And so, yeah, just be, just heaps of kindness. I just want, that's what I tell people, just like,
compassion.
Just please be, just, yeah, telling the mean girl to leave the room, you know, and trying to cultivate this idea that you can become your, you know, your best friend, even though it can, you know, and kindness and softening and, oh God, we could talk about this forever.
Yeah, exactly. And I think compassion for everyone, just recognizing that in the society we're currently in, it really isn't easy if you don't look like what society is telling us is the beauty standard.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's in a world that's set up to, you know, make us feel shit about self, loving yourself is a rebel act.
Yeah, your Instagram is such a rallying cry for that. So where can people find you if they want to follow you?
Yeah, so it's Harry Rose. Harry is with an I, H-A-R-R-I underscore Rose. That'll get me. And yeah, I love Instagram's my jam. So come hang
it
out.
It's so good on there.
Yeah, harryrose.com if you want to find out more. But yeah, this has been a great conversation. I think we could literally sit here all week talking.
We could. Oh, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you. You are a joy.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide.
And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.